fans, we can all listen to the Sunny Side of Sports.
Great show, bro. This is Sunny Side of Sports.
Right here on the Voice of America.
Voice of America.
This is VOA's Sunny Young in Washington. Welcome to the Sunny Side of Sports. As I reported on Wednesday's show, the countdown is officially on for the 2020 Olympics in Tokyo, Japan. Wednesday marked 1 year to the opening ceremony for the Tokyo Games. Kenya, like many other countries, is stepping up its preparations for the Tokyo Olympics. From the Kenyan capital, Nairobi, Ruben Chama reports.
The National Olympics Committee of Kenya named sports veteran Waithaka Kioni as the country's chief of mission for the Games to be held in Tokyo, Japan in August next year. Kioni, a long-serving volleyball administrator, promised to redeem the country's tainted image in the wake of graft charges facing former senior officials accused of misappropriating about $500,000 during the last Olympic Games.
As we move towards Tokyo 2020, we are aware there will be very many challenges, particularly considering what happened at the last Olympics, Rio 2016, while our athletes performed very well, the management committee performed dismally, and as a consequence, the image and credibility of the National Olympic Committee of Kenya was badly dented and damaged.
Kenyans celebrated with a colorful event in Nairobi Wednesday to mark the one-year countdown before the start of the Tokyo 2020 Olympic Games. In the 2016 Rio Games, Kenya won 6 gold medals, 6 silvers and 1 bronze, all in the track and field. But the sterling performance was overshadowed by allegations of corruption among team officials and government officials. Former marathon world record holder Paul Terigat is the president of the National Olympic Committee of Kenya, or NOC, and a member of the International Olympic Committee.
Today marks exactly 1 year away before the start of this biggest sports extravaganza. As a National Olympic Committee, we have no doubt about our readiness to represent Team Kenya to this novel duty for our nation. Our sports people remain the best anywhere, and all they need is to be facilitated to prepare and to go to do what they know best, that is to bring us medals.
The Kenya Olympic team is the most successful team in Africa on medal count, with 103 medals to its credit, ahead of South Africa and Ethiopia at 86 and 54 medals respectively. Now Kenyan athletes in more than 20 sporting events will start competing to qualify for the Tokyo Olympics over the next few months. The host, Japan, has promised to make it a high-tech, environmentally friendly event. Mitsuhiro Kobayashi is with the Embassy of Japan in Kenya.
As all sports lovers know, the first Summer Olympics ever held in Asia was hosted by Japan in 1964. There were Tokyo Olympic Games, and it is at these games that Kenya won its first ever Olympic medal. It is an honor to meet young Kenyan athletes who are currently working hard as they prepare to try and qualify for the Tokyo 2020 Olympic and Paralympic Games.
Agnes Oluoch is the president of Kenya National Paralympics.
We started this event at the embassy, which was very okay. And we also saw the inclusivity that was there between the Olympic and the Paralympics. It was really good, and I really enjoyed. And we are ready to start kickoff for Tokyo.
The Kenyan team has settled for Japan's city of Kurume to host its training camp ahead of the sporting extravaganza. For the Sunny Side of Sports, this is Ruben Chama in Nairobi.
Hello, sports fans. This is Paul Tergat, marathon champion from Kenya. You are listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on the Voice of America.
Voice of America!
As Ruben Chama reported, Olympic host Japan is promising a high-tech and environmentally friendly sports extravaganza next year. Well, on the environmental front, the 5,000 medals that will be awarded at the Games and Paralympics have been made entirely from recycled consumer devices. Unveiled this week, they are the first sustainable Olympic medals, and they're designed to resemble polished stones. The 2020 medals represent the contributions of Japanese citizens who were asked to recycle their cell phones and small devices and appliances more than 2 years ago. Meanwhile, a top official of the Nigeria Wrestling Federation says the country's athletes are working hard to win medals at the 2020 Tokyo Olympics and next month's All Africa Games in Rabat, Morocco. Daniel Igali is the president of the Nigeria Wrestling Federation. 19 years ago, representing Canada, Daniel won a gold medal in the 69-kilogram lightweight division at the Sydney Olympics. In an interview with Iron Mike Mbonye, Igali talked about preparations by Nigerian wrestlers.
We've been in camp for a couple of weeks now, and the athletes, in my view, are in good spirits. But if you ask me if it's ideal, of course it's not. I mean, if you are going to prepare for the Africa Games, you need more than 5 weeks to prepare. We've been training before that in our different places of abode, and we are quite aware of the programs the athletes have undergone over the past few months. So I would say that preparations are ongoing.
How are you preparing for the Tokyo 2020 Olympic Games and the prospects of winning medals for Nigeria from that particular game?
All these preparations are going to the path of the Tokyo Olympics. The Africa Games is not completely divorced from the Tokyo Olympics. I mean, we're not going to have a separate preparation for it. Right after the Africa Games, we also have the World Championships in Kazakhstan, and we're open even in November to have some of our athletes, especially our Olympic hopefuls, take part in some competitions in North America. And early in the year, in January, too, we're trying to get them into a couple of tournaments before we get into some of the Olympic qualifiers yet again, early January. So this also forms part of our preparations for the Olympics.
Do you have challenges preparing for these major events and tournaments? And does Nigeria have the prospect of another Daniel Igali winning a gold medal in wrestling, be it from the Olympic Games, All African Games, and the World Championship?
You know, talents abound in Nigeria. I work with those talents, and it's the handiwork of preparation, the handiwork of a system that is solid, if I can call it that way, in Canada, that was able to actually bring out the potential, the talent, and harness it to a gold medal. That being said, we have issues. We always have issues with every sport. We have issues of organization. We have issues of taking care of our athletes, of remuneration. Those things are there, but they're not only issues that affect Nigeria. They affect a lot of other countries. It's how we address them that is the bigger problem. I would say that there are a lot of talent. Whether we are going to win Olympic gold medals is what I can't say now because of the situation. So we have quite a number of talents in Nigeria, but I think the challenge is on how we can harness it. And harnessing it requires resources to the federations, resources to the administrators of sports, not only at national level, but also at the state and local government levels. And I think once we're able to do that properly, winning medals at the Olympics, at the World Championships, at the Commonwealth and Africa Games will be something we can be doing very consistently.
That's Daniel Igali, 2000 Olympic champion and president of the Nigeria Wrestling Federation. And Daniel spoke with Iron Mike Mbonye on the telephone from Yenagoa, Nigeria.
Hi, I'm Helen Maroulis, Olympic champion for Team USA, and you're listening to The Sunny Side of Sports on The Voice of America.
Just ahead, my VOA colleague Jim Stevenson will join us with a spicy package of golf, basketball, and Olympic news.
The Tokyo Olympics open 1 year from now, and if you go, you may see the mascot robots Miratawa and Sumeti. Other robots will be there too, developed by Toyota Motor Corporation and Panasonic. They will have more practical uses, like assisting visitors in wheelchairs or helping staff manage the games. Gon Yamazaki is a Japanese child who saw some up close.
I touched the gloves.
I was impressed that the robot can do a high five and shake hands.
Tokyo is in fact busy designing an entire robotic village in Tokyo's Odaiba district, where organizers say robots will be helping hundreds of thousands of visitors carry their luggage, translate difficult sentences, or even hail a taxi. The Tokyo Olympics run from July 24th through August 9th, 2020. Japanese rising basketball star Rui Hachimura is heading to the United States to play in the National Basketball Association. He's already reaping financial rewards, announcing a multi-year global partnership with Nissan Foods Holdings in Tokyo. I'm very happy to see my face on the package. It's cool that I feel like I'm collaborating with Cup Noodle. Hachimura became the first player from Japan to be chosen in the first round of the NBA draft, taken with a number 9 overall pick by the rebuilding Washington Wizards. The team's new power forward says he hopes he will help boost the sport in his native Japan. After the NBA draft, I've been sounded out by a lot of media, and people recognize me more than before, not only in Japan, but also in the United States. I think it's a good thing for Japanese basketball to draw people's attention. I'm happy about that because I know that the Japanese Basketball Association has been trying their best as well to draw people's attention to basketball. I'm also happy that a big company like Nissan decided to be my sponsor. The 2 meter, 3 tall, 106 kilo Hachimura is currently in Japan after participating in the 2019 NBA Summer League in Las Vegas. He's excited to see basketball grow while watching other sports. If I sum up my feelings right now in a few words, it will be, I'm looking forward to it very much. The World Cup is coming soon before the NBA season, so I would like to see how well the Japanese team can do against all these teams such as the United States and China. Hachimura also has his sights set on next year's Tokyo Olympics. I have been dreaming of playing at the Tokyo Olympics, and Japan's basketball team qualified for the Olympics, so it will be a good chance for me. I'm also grateful for Nissan's support. The son of a Japanese mother and a father from Benin, Hachimura is the latest Japanese of mixed race to make a splash in the sporting world, following women's tennis player Naomi Osaka and Major League Baseball's Yu Darvish, who pitches for the Chicago Cubs.
This is huge for me, obviously, major championship.
Shane Lowry of Ireland has added his name to the illustrious list of winners carved into the base of the claret jug as he held his lead through the final round of the Open, golf's final major of the year.
I knew today that I was going to have to fight to the very end, and I did. I didn't let myself, you know, I let myself think about it on 17, enjoy it, but I still, you know, you're still hitting shots in your links golf, bunkers, rough, all sorts can happen out there, so you kind of, I let myself really, really enjoy it going down 18, but before that I was really just fighting till the end.
Lowry began the day with a 4-shot advantage over Tommy Fleetwood of England at Portrush in Northern Ireland. Lowry's lead slowly grew to 6 shots by the end as the entire field braved tough weather.
When I had it kind of around the turn, had a look at a few leaderboards and seeing everybody else was struggling. I mean, it was so hard out there, especially when that big shower came in on the 8th. It was just, you know, the 9th tee shot was just like put the ball down down and hope for the best, because it was incredible, the rain that was coming down.
Lowry felt assured he would win as the number of remaining holes grew smaller.
Even though I bogeyed 14, I thought I played the last five holes incredibly well, and I felt incredibly good. I felt like I was going to do it, especially obviously after 14 when Tommy made double, I made bogey, but I went five ahead with four to play.
Behind every great golfer is a caddy.
You know, I kept on telling him how nervous I was, how scared I was, how much I didn't want to mess it up. He was great at keeping me in the moment today.
Brian Beaumartin began carrying Lowry's bag less than a year ago.
Golf's a weird sport, and you never know what's around the corner, and that's why you always kind of need to remind yourself, and you need to have the people there to remind you that you need to just fight through the bad times.
And Irish fan support helped him too.
It's funny, I sometimes struggle to play in front of a home crowd, and have done in the past, but I mean, not over the last few days. I played lovely, so it's obviously very nice.
Portrush has hosted the only two Open Championships outside of England and Scotland in the tournament's 148-year history. The first time was in 1961, and Lowry feels it will be less than 58 years before the Open returns to Northern Ireland.
This is my eighth Open Championship. It was the best one I've ever played in. You know, the way it was ran, the golf course, everybody was raving about the golf course, how good it was. So I'd be very surprised if it's not back here in the next 10 years.
Lowry joins an impressive group of Irish major champions.
We're very lucky Irish golfers. People might say there's not enough Irish golfers on tour, but look at the standard of Irish golfers we have. You know, Rory McIlroy is arguably one of the best players in the world, if not the best on his day. G-Mac, I think, is getting a stroke back. And the careers that Paddy and Darren and those guys have had is just incredible.
Now, Lowry has something in common with Padraig Harrington.
Like, you go into Paddy's house and his claret jug is sitting there on the kitchen table, and I'm going to have one on my kitchen table now as well. So I said that to him. That's going to be quite nice.
And he has cherished photos as champion with his daughter, Iris.
Sure, look, that means everything, doesn't it? Those pictures.
While Iris is only two, Lowry hopes for more photo ops with her in the coming years.
Look, I'm going to be coming back with another 27 Opens to play in. So she's going to be nearly 30 when I play my last one. That's going to be nice.
And thanks to my VOA colleague, Jim Stevenson, for that spicy sports package. I'm Sonny Young, and you're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on the Voice of America. Let's take a short break now for these VOA programming announcements.
Hello, I'm Carol Castiel, host of Press Conference USA, VOA's newsmaker interview program. Join us each Saturday and Sunday when we talk with authors, analysts, and policymakers who provide fresh insight on topics ranging from U.S. politics and foreign policy to science, culture, and global health. You can listen to Press Conference USA on the radio or online at voanews.com/PCUSA. While you're visiting our website, be sure to subscribe to our podcast. We'd also love to hear from you. Just send an email to pcusa@voanews.com or connect with us on Facebook at facebook.com/CarolCastielVOA or on Twitter at CarolCastielVOA. That's Press Conference USA every Saturday and Sunday on The Voice of America.
Want to relax, unwind, or charge up? Then listen to Music Time in Africa this weekend. It'll do all that for you and more. I'm Heather Maxwell. I know good music. And Africa is my passion. Join me every Saturday and Sunday for 1 hour of commercial-free Pan-African music of the highest caliber. You get great music, music news, and amazing artist interviews from rising stars to superstars. This listen will take you places. So do it. Join me for Music Time in Africa, your weekend destination.
Thanks, Heather. We look forward to your next Music Time in Africa show. And the Sunny Side of Sports remembers Heather's predecessor, the late, great Leo Sarkisian. I'm broadcasting right now from Studio 22 at our Voice of America headquarters in Washington, D.C. Right next door in Studio 23, that studio is dedicated to the legendary music man Leo Sarkisian, who died last year at the age of 97. And a little VOA history for you. Leo launched Music Time in Africa way back in 1965, making it the VOA's longest-running English radio program. Leo Sarkisian, the music man, still lives right here at our VOA headquarters with the Studio 23 dedication. Newly crowned African football champion Algeria is the biggest mover in the July FIFA rankings, but the team Algeria beat in the Nations Cup final, Senegal, remains number one on the continent. In the rankings released Thursday, the Desert Foxes of Algeria rose 28 places to number 40 overall. The Algerians also were the biggest mover by points. They were up 117 ranking points from the June FIFA rankings. And after being ranked 12th in Africa by FIFA in June, the Algerians are now fourth on the continent. Senegal, which lost 1-0 to Algeria in the Nations Cup final July 19th in Cairo, remains number one in Africa and 20th overall. The Carthage Eagles of Tunisia are second in Africa and 29th overall. And another flock of Eagles, the Super Eagles of Nigeria, they're third in Africa and 30th overall. The Desert Foxes of Algeria, as I mentioned, are fourth in Africa. And rounding out the top 10 in Africa, according to FIFA, we have Morocco, Egypt, Ghana, Cameroon, the Democratic Republic of Congo, and Ivory Coast. Taking a look at the very top of the July FIFA rankings, Belgium is number one overall, followed by South American champion Brazil, which is only 20 ranking points behind the Belgians. France is ranked third, followed by England and Uruguay. More African football news. The Zimbabwe Football Association, ZIFA, says Sunday Chidzamga has resigned as the national team's head coach. The 67-year-old Chidzamga guided the Warriors of Zimbabwe at the recent Africa Cup of Nations tournament in Egypt. Zimbabwe lost to host Egypt 1-0 in their opening match, drew 1-1 with Uganda, and then lost to the Democratic Republic of Congo 4-0. So the Warriors were not able to advance out of the group stage in Egypt. Colombian cyclist Nairo Quintana won Thursday's 18th stage of the Tour de France. It was a 208-kilometer mountain stage, and Quintana attacked about 3 kilometers from the finish line to win the stage. In the overall general classification standings, a local favorite, Frenchman Julien Alaphilippe, he holds the yellow jersey given to the top rider in the Tour de France. Now, right now, another Colombian is within striking distance of Alaphilippe, Egan Bernal of Colombia, about a minute and a half behind Alaphilippe after 18 stages of the Tour de France. We have 3 stages left in the world's greatest cycling race. It will end on Sunday in Paris. But right now we have 2 mountain stages left and then a flat stage. So the Tour de France, no clear winner at this point. And that wraps up the July 25th edition of the Sunny Side of Sports. Thanks to Voice of America producer Bill Werkinger. Thanks also to VOA engineer Nelson Lopez. And thank you for tuning in. I'm VOA's Sonny Young in Washington, and that's the sunny side of sports.
I get it.
The Voice of America's flagship global news program, International Edition, brings you an in-depth look at the biggest stories of the day. Nobody covers the world more comprehensively than VOA. We have hundreds of reporters gathering the news and the views of the most seasoned experts on international issues. Tune in Monday through Friday at 17 UTC and 2230 UTC. We're also available online at voanews.com.
The Science Edition of Press Conference USA celebrates the 50th anniversary of the Apollo 11 moon landing, considered one of the greatest achievements in human history. NASA's chief historian William Barry joins host Rick Pantaleo to discuss how the space agency was able to meet President John F. Kennedy's challenge of landing a man on the moon and returning him safely to Earth before the end of the 1960s. Listen Saturday and Sunday on The Voice of America.
Hello, Africa. I'm James Butte, host of VOA's Daybreak Africa. When news breaks, VOA Africa is there, bringing you the news as it happens. Listen to Daybreak Africa Monday through Friday at 3, 4, 5, and 6 hours UTC. And our 5-minute newscast come to you at the top of each hour. VOA Africa, your trusted source of information.
Are you suffering from heartache? No problem. We've got the cure for you. The African beat can soothe your heartache with its awesome tunes from the African continent. So join me, David Vandy, Mondays through Fridays at 0900 and 2000 Universal Time for a healing journey. I guarantee it.
This is Science in a Minute.
Among the top risk factors for heart disease is obesity. The most common method to determine obesity is by a person's body mass index or BMI score. A new study published in the Journal of the American Medical Association's JAMA Network Open suggests medical professionals not only look at a person's BMI score, but also body shape. Study authors found evidence that people with a normal BMI can still be at risk for cardiovascular disease, early death, and other obesity-related health issues if they also have an excess accumulation of fat around their midsection, something also referred to as central obesity. In other words, maintaining normal weight but having a large waist size could still spell health trouble. The study also suggests that some people, especially athletes, with a high BMI score can still be in excellent health because the bulk of their weight is muscle. I'm VOA's Rick Pantaleo.
Hello, thank you for listening to Border Crossings with Larry London. This month, Border Crossings is giving away a really cool Voice of America t-shirt. Hooray! If you want to win one of these awesome shirts, all you have to do is make a song request for our show. I see it, I like it, I want it, I got it, yeah. Tune into Border Crossings at 1500 Universal Time every weekday in August for your chance to win.
The Voice of America's flagship global news program, International Edition, brings you an in-depth look at the biggest stories of the day. Nobody covers the world more comprehensively than VOA. We have hundreds of reporters gathering the news and the views of the most seasoned experts on international issues. Tune in Monday through Friday at 17 UTC and 2230 UTC. We're also available online at voanews.com.
The economic and political turmoil in Venezuela continues, despite international efforts to support interim president Juan Guaido against strongman Nicolas Maduro. Host Carol Castiel discusses the Venezuela turmoil with Eric Farnsworth, vice president of the Council of the Americas and the America Society, and Mark Feierstein, former National Security Council director of Western Hemisphere Affairs. Listen this Saturday and Sunday on Encounter.
VOA.
We are always glad to have our listeners throughout Africa tuning in to our newscast covering Africa News. Tune in on the top of each hour 24/7. VOA is your trusted source of news and information.
This is VOA.